Turn with me in your Bible to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 today. That's where we're going to jump off. And the title of the sermon is The Two Who's. I don't mean Horton and the Who from Dr. Seuss, and I don't mean, what was that other one? Whoville. I don't mean Whoville either, okay? The Two Who's. I want you to remember that. The Two Who's. So that's where we're going to start today, and I'll explain that later. But we go to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. So Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. In verse 23, it says this: Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as it is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see that day approaching. So every Sunday when we back up and we read the verse here, it says in verse 24, and let us consider one another in order to do what? To stir up love and good works. So saints, every Sunday you come here, I want to stir up the faith that is in you. To stir it up, to make you stronger in your walk with the Lord Jesus, that when you come in and you feel downtrodden and you feel beaten up, you know that Pastor Leo is going to get up. He's going to be your cheerleader through the power of the Holy Spirit, and he's going to stir up your faith. Amen? Amen. So let me also say that we're going to turn to another scripture. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. So we're going to go backwards, go to 2 Timothy and chapter 1. And we're going to see that the Apostle Paul was doing the same thing in Timothy's life as well. So we go to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6. In verse 6 of 2 Timothy 1, it says this. He says, Therefore I remind you, to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Now read verse 5. Verse 5, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you. So the Apostle Paul was wanting to do what in Timothy's life? Because as a young minister, he was going to face a lot of challenges. He would face a lot of adversity. Just like you walking in the world and the things that you're dealing with on a daily basis, you face adversity, you face trials, is to stir that faith up in you that it's going to be okay, that God has got this. He's got your back, and he's working on your behalf today. We today, that we need to hold fast, don't waver. God is faithful. We are overcomers. How? By the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. We are the blood-washed of God. We can do this. Amen. So the Lord has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. So today, saints, let me stir your faith. When I face obstacles in my life, which include spiritual battles, it includes anxiousness, it includes anxiety. We were talking about that 2 weeks ago. There are two who's that are critical for me to remember, and they're critical for you to remember as well. These two who's affect my authority as a believer. So the very first question we ask that it leads us to, as a believer, do I have authority? And the answer is, yes, I do have authority through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has passed that authority onto each and every one of us be through that relationship that we have with him. So turn with me to Romans chapter 8. We're not going to stay at any one of these for very long, but we go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Because you, as a child of God, need to recognize that you can take authority over these things. So in Romans chapter 8, verse 14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons and daughters of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear," see that word fear, "but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, we may also be glorified together." Yeah. Yes, as children of God, we do have authority through my relationship that I have in Jesus. I do have authority through the Word of God and through the power of the Holy Spirit. Through the Word, I defeat the powers of darkness. Through the Spirit, I have power over the forces of evil today. Amen? Yeah. Are you walking in that power, and are you walking in that authority? In the authority of the believer, saints, remember, you're not dictating to God. You are speaking from a place of authority in God. We are not telling God what to do. We are speaking to that obstacle from what God's Word says through the power of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus faced temptation in the wilderness in Matthew chapter 4, from a position of authority in God, Jesus spoke the Word through the power of the Holy Spirit. To do what? To defeat the adversary. Jesus kept saying, "It is written, it is written." How many times in your prayer life, and how many times when you're speaking to an obstacle in your life, that you say, "It is written, it is written. God has not given me the spirit of fear, but a power and a sound mind. I'm going to walk in truth. I'm going to walk in righteousness, because I am in the blood born child of God." Hallelujah. Earlier, I said there are two who's that affect my authority as a believer. We're going to get there, so hang on to it. But turn back with me to 1 Samuel in chapter 17, and we're going to go back to where David defeated Goliath. So we go back to 1 Samuel and chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. We're going to read quite a bit of the scripture, so you'll just kind of have to hang with me. But I want you to have the full effect of the story. So 1 Samuel chapter 17, we're going to pick it up at verse 17. So in verse 17, he says this: "Then Jesse said to his son David, 'Take now for your brothers an ephah of this dried grain and these 10 loaves, and run to your brothers at the camp, and carries these 10 cheeses to the captain of their 1,000, and see how your brothers fare, and bring back news of them.' Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines." So we know, you already know, and we won't need to read the whole chapter. You know that Goliath's coming down here every morning, and he's strutting his stuff, and he says, "Come on down here, because I'm going to kick your tail." And all the Israel people were up there shaking and shivering, wondering who was going to be the sucker that was going to go down there and meet this guy that was almost 10 foot tall. So David, in verse 20, "rose early in the morning, left the sheep with the keeper, and took the things, went as Jesse had commanded him, and he came to the camp as the army was going out to fight and shouting for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had drawn up in a battle array, army against army, and David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper, ran to the army, came and greeted his brothers. Then as he talked with them, there was a champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words. So David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So the men of Israel said, 'Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has came up to defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches and will give him his daughter and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel.' Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him in a manner, saying, so shall be done for the man who kills him. Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David and said, why did you come up down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle. And David said, what have I done now? Is there not a cause? Then he turned from him toward another and said the same thing. And these people answered him as the first ones did. Now when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. And then David said to Saul, let no man's heart because of him fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with the Philistine. And Saul said to David, you're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant has used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it, and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it rose against me, I caught it by the beard and struck and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. So Saul clothed David with his armor, put a bronze helmet on his head, also clothed him with a coat of mail, and David fastened the sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them. So David took them off. Then he took his staff, his hands, and he chose for himself five smooth stones from the brook and put them in the shepherd's bag, in a pouch which he had, and this sling was in his hand, and he drew near the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him, and when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good-looking. So the Philistine said to David, David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. And David said to the Philistine, you come to me with sword, with a spear, and with a javelin. Hallelujah. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you, and I'm going to take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air, the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all the assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. So it was when the Philistines came across, drew near to meet David, that David hurried, ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put his hand into his bag, took out a stone, and he slung it, and he struck the Philistine in his forehead, so that the stone sank in his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. You remember, he already promised, I'm going to take your head. But there was no sword in the hand of David, and therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword, drew it out of its sheath, killed him, and cut off his head with it. Now the question is, saints, did you see the two who's? If you back up and look at verse 45 again, you can underline this in your Bible if you're not against underlining your Bible. Then David said to the Philistine, "You came to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." In my authority as a believer, number one, I must know who I am in Christ. Number two, I must know who I represent. David said, "I come to you in the name of the Lord." That's who I am. That's who I belong to. I belong to Him. I represent the Ancient of Days, the one without beginning or end. I represent the great I Am. And who are you to stand in front of me and defy me? I take authority over you today. That's the who I am. And that's the who I represent. Who are you to defy the armies of the living God? Saints, you and God are a majority. Amen. Stir up that faith that is in you. Now turn with me to Matthew 17. We're going to look at a couple in the New Testament before we close today. Matthew chapter 17 and verse 20. And it's a scripture you're very familiar with. But Matthew chapter 17 and verse 20. In verse 20, he says this. Matthew 17, verse 20. "So Jesus said to them, 'Because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and also by fasting.'" Now turn with me to the next book, which is Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. Mark 11 and verse 22. In verse 22, "So Jesus answered and said to them, 'Have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that these things which says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them.'" Well, how many of us are praying and not believing when we're praying? When you're praying, you need to believe that God is God, is who He is. He will do what He says He will do, and He's going to answer that need in your life. Amen. Did you notice in 1 Samuel that David didn't say to Goliath, "Let's debate the issue. Let's talk about this. Is there any way that we can resolve this or that we can gain a consensus over it?" The mountain here can also represent challenges or obstacles that are in your life. Many times we will talk to them or let them talk to us, but not take authority over them. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the concerns that we have. And when we have a concern, we can walk about on about our business, and we can keep that in the back of our mind. Maybe it's something I have to deal with. I'm concerned about it, but I'm still moving forward. When I become anxious, I start feeling sick about it because I'm starting to think about it a lot more than I should. And when I get to the point of anxiety, it's where it's affecting my health, it's affecting my day, it's affecting my thinking. Remember, stop letting it talk to you and take authority over it. You need to start talking to it. You need to be gone from my life. I bind you in the name of Jesus. I'm going to walk in the strength and the power that I have through the Holy Spirit. Anxiety, who are you? You are nothing. I am a child of God. I can take authority over you because Satan is using it for evil. And he has given us authority over evil. Amen?
Amen.
Through who you are in Christ and who you represent. And people will say, I've said it before myself, saints, "Well, I've tried that and it doesn't work." Remember what we said about Paul, and I'm not good about going back and rehearsing sermons or regurgitating them because you never move forward. You ever been seen a pastor will do that? He'll preach a sermon, and because it's a part one, two, or three, he wants to regurgitate the first part. He wants to do the first sermon over and over and over, and you never get moved forward. Well, I'm not one of those people. We need to be moving forward in our life for the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm not going to go backwards, but if you remember what I said about the Apostle Paul, when we were talking about it in the scripture in Philippians, he was in prison. He was waiting his death. He was waiting his execution. If anybody says it will work, and he has proof that he says that it does work, that we should follow after him. We should listen to him. And if it works for him, brother and sister, it will work for me. I want you to say those words for me, with me. It will work for me.
It will work for me.
Amen. You take authority and power through the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, and start taking authority over it. And yes, many times you got to do it today. You got to do it tomorrow. You got to do it the next day. And you might need to do it the next day. But keep on keeping on in your Word. Keep on keeping on in the Word of God. Now turn with me to Philippians 4 and verse 9. It's the last scripture we'll go to today, I believe, before we close. Philippians 4 and verse 9. We could read the whole chapter again, but we won't. But I encourage you to read that chapter every day if you need to. But he says in Philippians 4, verse 9. Verse 9. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me. Paul is saying, I'm the proof that this works. You saw it in me, and I'm telling you it works. You need to hang on and hang on and hang on and put your trust in God. He says, the things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, do these things. Do these things, and what? The God of peace will be with you. Every day, I'm going to get up, and I'm going to take authority over all fear, all anxiety, and every day, sometimes all day, and let's stir up that gift of faith in you. In 1 John, it says what? It says that perfect love does what? Cast out all fear. What is anxiety? What is anxious? It's a form of being afraid, isn't it? We're afraid because we can't control it. We're afraid because this is going to happen, and I'm afraid that this is going to happen over here, and this is going to happen over here. But if I am in perfect love with the Lord Jesus and it casts out all fear, why does it cast out all fear? Because I trust Him. So the anxiety that you have, I'm going to leave you with a question. Is it a trust issue in your life? Because you're trusting yourself. It won't happen. It's not going to happen. You can't control it. But do you put your trust in the Lord and put it in the hands of somebody that can do something about it? Amen. Amen. I remember hearing, I used this illustration a little before. It was a little child. He had a toy, and he broke it. He brought it to his dad. He said, Dad, will you fix this? He said, sure, son, I'll fix it. He takes it out of his hand. He starts to work on it, and the son grabs it back out of his hand. He says, Dad, will you fix this? He says, yes, I will fix it. Give it to me. He gives it back over to him, and he starts working on it. And when he starts working on it, all of a sudden the son reaches up, and he grabs that toy back out of his hand, and he says to his son, I can't fix it if you will not give it to me.
Amen.
Isn't that true?
Yeah.
We need to give it over. Not give it over and take it back. Give it over and take it back. But recognize the authority that I have a believer of who I am in Jesus Christ and who I represent. And I represent the Lord God Almighty. And Satan is not doing anything with this anxiety but bringing evil against me. And I'm going to bind that evil in the name of Jesus and take authority over it. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we just rejoice in your goodness and grace today. And we praise you, Father, for everything that you have done in our life. And, Father, everything you're going to do. Lord, I want to be a cheerleader. I want to stir up the faith in people's lives. Lord, that they can just be be free of all that anxiety and all that fear and give it over to you, Father. And I ask that, Lord, you would bless them. And Father, you would open the windows of heaven and pour it out upon this congregation. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.